Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. And this is the quarantine edition of the show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Apparently.
Yeah, we're doing it old school in that we're all on Skype, mm-hmm. which is a rarity. You know, we've got thousands of dollars of recording equipment here in the studio, and we're all here on crappy headsets. At least I'm not, but... You know, Ian's probably on a crappy headset.
Nope, I'm on my little Samsung mic.
Oh. Well, you sound good.
I busted out the gear for you.
Wow. Mr. Mike, how are you? Are you in a tin can and string situation?
No, I've actually got a pretty decent headset here. That's why I'm surprised it's got a weird hum going on.
Well,
it
actually sounds better now.
Okay, that's good.
So, wow, it's almost like we're real podcasters. We have proper equipment.
I know.
It's kind of crazy. One of the reasons why we're all separated is because Ian has the plague.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to the doctor finally after 3 weeks. You know, the hypochondriac in me finally woke up and said, "Hey, maybe you should go to the doctor." You know, after reading about how Jim Henson died for the fifth time, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I should probably go get a strep test." You know, since I've had a sore throat for probably the better part of 3 weeks. Turns out, at the age of pretty near 30, I've developed allergies, and I have to learn how to figure it out now. So. Well, that probably didn't help out either that this weekend I decided to, because Friday I felt pretty good, so this weekend I decided to experiment with margaritas. Which led to the downfall again. So
I don't know what's more shocking, the fact that at near 30 you're developed allergies, or at near 30 you're finally experimenting with margaritas.
I had a legitimate fear of tequila for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Huh.
That's
tasted like vomit to me.
Well, that I could see.
Yeah.
And none of this is about video games, but this is a video game show.
No.
I did drink my margaritas while playing a lot of the PlayStation Plus free content.
Aha. Which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I had a funny story that I ran into Evan that I'll have to share with you guys when I ran into Evan at the local Target. Yeah. But speaking of Target, you know, if you went there, you know, yesterday, there'd be some new releases. So it might be a good time to jump into the new releases.
Let's do that, shall we?
And I think the biggest one on the list for probably us would be Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the biggest one for us. I just feel like that's going to be the most attention-getting one this week.
That is definitely true. This is a game I'm actually somewhat kind of interested in.
I feel like everyone is somewhat kind of interested in. I don't know if there's going to be enough interest to drive purchases.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's kind of on that list of, well, maybe when it drops to 30, 40 bucks, I'll consider it, but...
Yeah, that's really where I'm at right now, too.
It's like, anytime Suda puts out a game, it's very hit or miss, and really, the only one that I've been infatuated with has been No More Heroes.
Did you ever play the later ones?
I played a little bit of the second one.
Okay.
But not a ton of it. I mean, I reviewed Diabolical Pitch, which is his game he put out for the Kinect, and I'm just like, yeah, it gets boring in 5 minutes. But that's usually every Kinect game, so.
Now, Shadows of the Damned was kind of the last big game I remember him coming out with. And I remember that game coming out because it was like, it had some like really like interesting topics, while at the same time some very like graphic imagery. Like, wasn't one of his guns just a penis or something like that?
No, it's but now awesome. I'm more interested in that game. Well, not that I'm interested in playing with penises, but just that it's that kind of game, you know, it's going to be interesting, I guess. I don't know. But back to Lollipop Chainsaw, this is one of those where I like a lot of the ideas behind it. I like kind of that silly. It seems like a slightly more sexy No More Heroes.
Yeah, I mean, like the first frame on the video is her taking the wrapper off a sucker with her mouth, you know. Like, so, yeah. They're selling it to a demographic there.
Speaking of said demographic and speaking of Target, I was in there today, and they have Duke Nukem Forever on clearance for $5, and I still didn't buy it.
How little do you want to pay for that game?
It was one of those where I was like, I kind of want to play this, but I just don't think I'm going to get to it.
I don't want the achievements. Like, I don't want those sitting in my account.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I could buy a decent slice of pizza at the one of the places in the Skyway for that $5.
Yeah,
and I'd probably be a lot happier afterwards than I would be by spending $5 on Duke Nukem Forever.
Probably, yeah.
So moving down the game list, one of the games that I'm excited about is Gravity Rush for your PS Vita, and it's a game in which you kind of augment the gravity around you, kind of flipping the world to say, you know, what is up is now where the gravity will be based to navigate through the world and kind of, you know, solve the game, if you will.
That mechanic has been done in like 100 different mobile games for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to translate really well to PS Vita. It'll be cool to see like an actual $40, you know, full-fledged out story behind it. Next in the kind of strategy realm, you have Sins of the Solar Empire Rebellion, which is the first standalone expansion of the Sins of the Solar Empire series.
Yeah, buddy.
Now, did you play that, Evan?
I did. I played that a lot. The first one, not this new one.
Yeah, I remember playing like for a couple hours and like I couldn't quite master the system, but it seemed really beautiful.
It's an interesting little system. It's kind of a classic, I guess what you'd call 4X kind of game, where, you know, it's similar to like a Alpha Centauri or a Masters of Orion or you know, something like that. In that you're building up a sci-fi universe, and you're building up an intergalactic empire, and you've got to do all of these, you know, you got to do all your research, you got to build up a military. I mean, it's similar to, you know, like I said, those
Civ,
kind of
or Civ like,
you know, some stuff like that. But it's very pretty, and it's actually done by I think it's Stardock is the company that makes it, and this was like the game that they, because they were the first game they had was Galactic Civilizations. And then this is the Sins of the Solar Empire is kind of the offshoot of that.
Yeah, so Stardock would be the publisher, and I think Ironclad Games was the developer. Moving down the list, I know this is a game you guys have talked about that I own on Steam but haven't played much yet. Magic, the Other Side of the Coin, or Magicka, the Other Side of the Coin. An expansion for the hit Magicka.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys played that game?
I've played a little bit of Magicka. I haven't. I probably would have access to the expansion, but I mean, for some reason, it does not run very well on my machine.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I have the same problem with Sonic Generations. It just for whatever I try to do, it will just not run.
Oh, on that's the system. Kind of a quick one. There's a Metal Gear Solid HD collection for the Vita, which is the two looks like the two handheld games being brought to the PS Vita. Actually, no, it looks like the Solid series, so 1, 2, and 3. Metal Gear Solid series, love it or hate it. It's on the Vita now, HD upgrade. Dirt Showdown, this is a game we talked about, I think, in preview, or it came out on the PC first and later in consoles, so it's coming out for the consoles now. And I was really excited about it until I started reading the reviews, and it sounded like they stripped out the dirt, what made Dirt great, tried to make an arcade game out of it, and failed to make an arcade game. Also interesting, after, you know, Nintendo's E3 announcements, Pikmin 2 is coming to the Wii, where they basically take the GameCube game and give it some Wii, you know, jiggle controls and call it a new thing. Repackage it, sell it for $20. And that looks to be about it this week.
Another light week. Well, I mean, it's that first week after E3.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's just... And I still think, you know, there's enough of a juggernaut behind Diablo and some of the other releases that have come out in the last few weeks, that this is kind of one of those downtimes. Plus, we're getting into the summer, and summer's always shitty for games.
Yeah, I mean, it'll get to the month where the biggest release will be NCAA football. And you're like, remember that was last year around summer, and you're just like, all right, so there is nothing.
Oh, well, it's a good time, though. I think it's probably a good chance to jump into the PS Plus story. Is, you know, at E3, Sony announced that they're going to be offering a crap ton of free games, something like $260 worth of content. So I was playing this weekend a little bit of Just Cause 2, and it was interesting because, you know, I ran into Evan at Target, and I was telling him, well, you know, I had the 60-gig PS3, and I had upgraded my hard drive because of this. So I ordered the 500-gig hard drive. When it shows up, I go to take my hard drive out of my PS3, and I swear to God, the T2000 tightened the screws on this goddamn caddy. I stripped out all of the screws trying to get them out. So I had to use pliers to grip the side of the screw to twist it out.
Mm-hmm.
So my word of warning to anyone with an older PS3, if you're going to do the hard drive replacement, be extremely careful with the screws and make sure you have the perfect size bit for it. They're the softest metal that is tightened in so damn tight. But the nice thing is once you get it in, it's really easy to do the upgrade and then, you know, restore the back if you created beforehand. So I have 500 gigs now, so I pulled down all the free content, which was, you know, really cool. There's some good games in there. Space Marine, which I know Evan is a big fan of. Saints Row 2, Just Cause 2, a couple other games.
And I suppose you already had to have had PS Plus in order to get access to this, right?
I'm pretty sure if you started a PS Plus account now, you'd get it.
Because I considered it. when I heard about this from somebody else, I was like, huh. I could fork that, I suppose.
Yeah, a Little Big Planet 2 was on there. Yeah, it's a pretty good collection of games.
Well, and the problem with PS Plus games is if you ever lapse your account, you lose those games. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So the question is, if you lapse and resubscribe a month later, you can get access to your old titles.
Regular PS games too. So.
Because I had a couple things I downloaded back when they gave us PS Plus for free. After the whole, you know, Hackergate debacle. I had a couple things that I played. And then I, of course, got rid of them because I'd already finished them by that point.
Yeah, so, Just Cause 2 is actually a pretty fun game with the grappling hook mechanic. It's just the shooting really sucks. It's a really wide kind of auto lock-on where I feel like I need to be more precise, but really it's just point in the general direction and pull the trigger. But I don't think you're playing the game for shooting. I think you're playing it for the scaling of the environment.
Got it. What's the premise behind that? Because I've heard about that game, and I know, like, nothing about it, really.
It's like you're going to some, I think, South American or South, like, you know, Asian Pacific country that was just hastily taken over by the previous president's son and trying to liberate the people.
Okay.
It's a lot like Mercenaries, but it's like Mercenaries with a little more of a cause, for lack of a better word, behind it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you start the game with it, and like you can grappling people towards you, and as they come towards you, shoot them in the head a couple times, which is pretty good effect.
Oh, so that's the entire game of Bulletstorm right there.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
But it predates Bulletstorm, so it's better.
Right. Well, and there's other stuff you can do in it besides that. Which is all the game of Bulletstorm is. I've loved the Gears of War series, and then Epic puts out Bulletstorm, and I play it, and I'm like, this is garbage. I'm really glad I decided to go against my instinct, or go against my impulse, and buy it just for the first week of beta for Gears of War 3. Because after I played it, I was just like, wow, you literally are doing the same thing over and over, and it never really changes.
Yeah.
And granted, this is coming from somebody who plays Madden.
It was funny. I was going to make a Madden crack, but I decided against it. But you know,
yeah,
I'm glad you made it for me.
But you know, at least there's some variation in what's going on in a game of Madden. I literally felt like Bulletstorm was just like, all right, grapple shoot, grapple shoot, grapple shoot.
To be fair, Madden would be better if you could grapple shoot.
That's true.
Again, add that to the list of features for Mutant League Football. Just saying.
It's no longer football at that point. It becomes something beyond football.
Which is better.
It becomes like a mutant league of football. I don't know.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost like that. So is that it for new releases?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, that's terrible.
I mean, we tangented it for half of it, so.
I suppose. Yeah.
So what do we got for news?
What do we have for news? Let's see here. Okay, so you might remember there's a bit of a kerfuffle a while ago about the ending of Mass Effect 3. Well, there was this whole, you know, just to catch everyone up, there was this whole thing where the people thought the ending was terrible. And and similarly, some of those people thought that the Mass Effect 3 people, be it BioWare or EA or somebody, lied to them because they said in their marketing that you could change the outcome and yeah. So the various lawsuits and complaints and all those things have happened. And a while ago, the Better Business Bureau came to the conclusion that EA had lied in their marketing, Well, now we have, a challenger appears in the ASA, which is the Britain's Advertising Standards Authority, which I think is better than a bureau. An authority is better than a bureau.
You just like the British more.
I kind of do, but...
I tend to as well.
The ASA has said that the three endings of Mass Effect 3 are thematically quite different enough to lend credence to EA's promise that the choices influence the conclusion. Again, going to the Gama Sutra article, it said the ASA does understand that why they might have felt lied to, but basically the advertising is clear enough and just get the hell over it. I don't think they added that part, but they should have.
Your complaint is wrong.
If I could shrug my shoulders on a radio show, I would. I mean, that's how I've been about all this Mass Effect 3 stuff. Just kind of meh. It should be like a big story. Like, when you actually think about it, like, what it means is that the marketing was truthful, and it really goes to show the like how impactful video game marketing can be when you consider the fan base and also the market, how much money it's going to drive and all that stuff. And then when you take in consideration that the BBB and the ASA are now conflicting, you know, mm-hmm. there's actually some probably interesting cases there, but the whole ME3 got blown out of proportion so quickly that I jumped off that horse a while ago.
If it had been more universally against EA, to me, it would feel that there is that would cause such a massive shift in how games are marketed, because I mean this is par for the course as far as video game marketing, and a lot of marketing in general is where it's always overblown claims that are vague enough where it's like anytime you see like mind blowing in something, like no, that your mind will not be blown. I can almost guarantee you.
Oh, that's why I'm not. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know video games didn't cause me to be stupid.
Video games have caused a number of couches to be blown out, so, you know.
Couches, yes. Mines, no. And
is that really a marketing scheme on the back of a game? It's, you know, this will blow your couch out. Yeah,
You're going to sit on your couch so goddamn much you're going to break three bones.
Couch blowing action. Actually,
at least it's not goat blowing action.
Not goat blowing action. That's, yeah. You won't be able to sell that on Xbox Live, that's for sure.
No, yeah,
the PSN though, that is a place of filth.
PSN, that's no man's land. No man, but all goat. I don't know where that means exactly, but it sounded good in my head. Speaking of advertising and Sony, Sony
and goats
and goats
and things that sound good in your head. I don't know.
Like the voices need to stop.
I'm just thinking about goats now. I'm all confused. Anyway, a recently unearthed patent filed by Sony, this is from G4 TV, may indicate the future of in-game advertising. A patent found that Sony is at least considering actually adding interrupting ads into games, similar to commercials.
Didn't we talk about this last week that they had that this was a rumor?
If we did, I don't remember, but
I thought either I've read this story a while back or
the story is from May 25th, so it actually is a few weeks old. Okay. I just now saw it on G4. I don't know why.
I feel like if this actually became fruition and you had an interrupting ad in your game that you just paid $60 for, you would have people burning their consoles. Like, with how mad we get for, like Red Zone Presents, the tackle of the week in Madden for some people, this would just be incendiary. What I'm guessing it is someone at Sony had this really great idea about how to deliver advertising, and someone said, well, let's patent that so no one else can do it. And they may never do it. Or the other thought I had is it might be a free game thing, like, you can play the game for free, but every 15 minutes you got to watch a Katherine Heigl movie preview.
That's an awful lot to ask.
Yeah, I know.
Is that one of them horror games?
Yeah, yeah. Afraid in the Dark, like 14. Katherine Heigl's Revenge.
I would play that, actually. This is one of those, similar to that Red Zone thing that you mentioned, and one of the other things that got referenced in the story was like the billboards in first-person shooter games. I think Call of Duty, they started doing this, where you'd walk past a billboard and there'd be an ad for something. If it makes...
Probably not condoms, though.
Probably not. If it makes sense within the context of the game, I have no problem with it. Like, if you're playing Madden and they have like a commercial break and they give you an actual ad, I guess I don't really have a problem with that.
That seems, I mean, you see, at least in Madden, it's advertising is pretty blatantly obvious all throughout it. It's, you know, oh, you know, this red zone opportunity brought to you by Verizon, or, you know, this is the Old Spice, this going on, like they've done, like, with the statistics.
The swagger meter.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like EA really has to thank, like, the NFL for, or, you know, ABC or NBC or whoever, for the prolific advertising in the NFL, because it gave them complete justification to do whatever they wanted.
They do it in every sports game that they have. Now, it's funny because, like, in MLB The Show, there is no advertising. In fact, even if there's advertising in a stadium, they remove it and put something super generic in its place. Like, it'll kind of be that. Like, so let's say if there's a I think there's a big advertisement for Coca-Cola in the Atlanta Braves stadium.
No.
They just replace it with some, like, cola thing that they've made up, like a fake ad they've made up themselves.
That's interesting, because that's money they're leaving on the table, and I feel like...
Well, no, I take that back. There is at least stuff there for the Home Run Derby is sponsored by State Farm, but that's how it is in Major League Baseball anyways. And I think they have stuff for Topps baseball cards in there, like random spattered ones, but they're not like in your face. Like, it isn't like, oh, this hit was brought to you by Topps.
I feel like if that Coke ad was in the Atlanta Braves stadium, you wouldn't care, because either way there's going to be a big red sign that says soda, or it's going to say Coke.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is an interaction between the companies, like the advertising companies and the leagues themselves. Like, maybe they're contracting through the league, and therefore it makes it trickier on a legal perspective, because, like, MLB The Show, like, that has real players and all of that. So, I mean, there's a relationship there, but I can also see that them not really caring enough to deal with that stuff.
Well, I mean, if you think about all the different advertising, like, I know, I don't know if, Evan, you've ever been to a lot of baseball games.
I've been to baseball games. I almost called them video games. Yes, I've been to video games too, but...
The amount of advertising that exists on everything, I mean, just let's look at Target Field here. You have Delta Airlines, you have Target, you have Best Buy, you've got all... I'm trying to even think of what all the other ones, but those are the big... U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is another one.
Looking at a picture from a couple years ago. Star Tribune, Jack Lynx, Burger King, it looks like, Super America, Kemp's. Like, that's just from a picture I took 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm looking at a thing here I've got. Okay, so there's the Budweiser deck, Best
Buy, Captain Morgan,
FSN North, Treasure Island, U.S. Bank, Target, Pepsi, Ford, Delta... So to think how much time you would have to put in per stadium to get all of the, or at least, you know, or no, there's Stanley's and DeWalt on there too.
But you don't have to get them right. You just have to put something in the spot.
Well, no, and they do. They put something in that spot. There's some fake advertising.
But you could put a real thing in there. So even if it was a Coke sign and it said Delta, I mean, do you care that the advertisement has a real ad or a fake ad?
No, and truth be told, I'm not really concerned when I'm playing the game. Like, oh, they didn't get the advertisement thing right. I'm more concerned when it's like little details in the field that I know, because I'm a nerd like that and know problems in other stadiums. That's more me, I guess. But you're absolutely right. That seems to me a wasted opportunity on their part to be like, oh, they can't have a rotating ad in the, you know, in any of the big Megatrons that exist up there, to be like, oh, it's, you know, we have 5-6 different advertisers we could introduce into the game.
And I mean, with the internet connection, you could just have it change whenever, like, all right, we're going to update
right.
all, you
know. I don't know if you played Madden a couple of years ago, they had the annoying little ads in the corner, and it changed weekly. It was like, oh, here's one for Bing. Hold on a second. Sorry.
I was wondering when that was going to happen.
All right. Can't even remember what point I was on. Just all the different advertisers, I think.
We've gone long enough, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Now, and before we started recording here, Mike and I were playing a little Diablo.
Mm-hmm. Really?
We were.
Nice. And I'm gonna play a game when I'm done here called Get My Dishes Done So I Can Have Bowls for Ice Cream Again.
Dude, you live by yourself. The ice cream comes in a bowl.
Yeah,
not when you buy the big one.
Yeah, especially when you buy the big one.
Especially then.
Anyway, as we were saying with Diablo, the one of the big selling features, at least one of the big new features, I don't know if it was a selling feature so much, was the Real Money Auction House, and that finally released this week, or it opened up, or however you want to put it. It's available in America, and
America.
And nowhere else.
And, well, the Americas, both Americas.
There's another America?
Yes, there's a lower America. There's a lower America or Southern America, one of the two. I don't remember which. But you can currently set your auction to either US dollars, Mexican pesos, or that wasn't a joke. You can actually do that.
Yeah.
And I think you can set it to the Brazilian real as well, I think.
I think I'm going to start selling stuff on there in pesos.
Oh, Australians can also sell it, but in US dollars, which I think is kind of interesting.
Well,
you know, so now this would be a thing that, you know, if you were smart about this and you really followed currencies, like, I suppose we can't sell in euro, can we?
Not yet. The European stuff opens this weekend.
Or British pounds.
It just says, players using currencies other than the US dollar in the Americas region will be able to use the service in the near future.
I don't think there's any chance for currency arbitrage here.
So you don't think I could really, you know, if I really wanted to get into this, I can't start playing currencies against each other and maximize
I don't think that would work this way at all.
Yeah, no, I think you need to go buy, like, treasury bonds if you want to play that game.
Hmm.
Not the whispering horse axe or whatever it would be.
What I'd be curious, though, is what the potential for money laundering is for this.
Well, you can't really put money into the system.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Well,
you can go buy a bunch of crap.
Well, no, it's your Blizzard thing. I mean, you can go to the website right now and put money in.
So, like, are you thinking put dirty money in, get clean money out?
Well, it's through PayPal, but you'd have to kind of... It'd be tricky. I'm not saying it'd be easy to do.
I don't know any crack dealers.
Wow.
Wait, Mike gets a reference. Have you not seen Office Space?
No, that's why I was wowing you, because I hadn't heard a reference to Office Space in quite a while.
You watch that movie quarterly, right?
Oh, I do.
I do not, no.
I mean, is your life not Dilbert? Don't you need the constant reminder of the toil of your life?
Yeah, I don't watch a movie of my life. It'd be boring, and it would make me more sad than I already am. But yeah, the Real Money Auction House opened up, and it is available to anyone that you have to have the Authenticator attached to your account.
Oh, you do?
The Authenticator.
The Authenticator is, you can either buy a physical token, or there's an app for smartphones, and it's basically a random number generator that when you log in, you have to look up what this number is, and you have to type that in at the same time.
Well, it's not really a random number generator, it's a seeded number generator.
Well, yes.
So is this app free or no?
The app is free, yep. And if you want the physical token, it's like $7, I think it was. So if you want to do that, you have to have an authenticator attached to your account.
Before you guys commit to the app, which, I mean, isn't a bad idea, but if you lose your phone or delete the app and forget to deactivate the activator, it is a pain in the ass to get back in your account. I learned this.
Good to know. I would have liked to know that before I downloaded the app, but, you know.
So what is the app called for those of us?
It's just the BattleNet Authenticator. Okay. I think that's just what it's called. You can go to the website and you sign up through your account, and it'll tell you how to get one for your particular phone. So you need that, and then it's pretty much, it's just like the gold auction house. When you pick something, you set a value, you set a bid level as well as a buyout level. Buyout is maximum $250, and I've currently got four things on the auction house, I want to say.
Has anyone bid yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, see, I just finally sold a couple things in the regular auction house and made a couple thousand gold on that.
My plan is to send it to the real money auction house first, and if no one bites on that, then I'll sell it in the gold. Because I'm about 90% successful in selling stuff on the gold auction house. So I'm just trying this out, and we'll just see, I guess this is more of a we'll see if anyone, you know, how successful this is.
Do they give you any guidance for pricing your items?
The way it works is when you pick your item, the bid price is, if it's in the gold auction, it's whatever the sell price of the item is. Mm-hmm. So if it's 110 gold, it's 110 gold as the bid price, and you can change the bid price as much as you want, but that's kind of the default. With the real money auction house, it's the number of gold divided by 100. So that 110 gold thing, the bid price is $110.
Okay.
And then you can set it to anywhere, you know, up to $250 as the buyout price. So I've been setting my buyout price to 10 times what the bid price is. Just because honestly, as far as I'm concerned, like, people are like freaking out about how, you know, making their money's worth. It's like, as far as I'm concerned, this is free money.
You know, I wonder if there's a tax thing on that. You know, taxed on that.
Probably. I don't know. I know Blizzard takes a chunk.
Yeah.
And then, but beyond that, I suppose you would have to technically declare that.
Yeah.
Oh, do they send you like a W-4 at the end of the year?
I don't know. I'd be curious what the particular... well, you see, that was one of the reasons why this took so long to get out, is because they're trying to figure out all the security ramifications, all of the, you know, the legal shit. I mean, that's part of why you know they had to figure out, okay, are we going to do one for hardcore, which they're not doing one right now. They've made gestures that they might do a real money auction house for hardcore. I just see that being a freaking disaster.
Yeah.
What's the difference with hardcore? Like, why would that one not be...
Well, so with hardcore, if you die, you die. The game, you know, you have to...
You are done.
The character is gone.
Yeah.
And my guess is that they're concerned is, okay, Johnny spends $200 on equipment for his hardcore character, who then dies, and that equipment is gone.
Yes.
And as far as I can tell, there's no legal reason why they couldn't do hardcore. I just think they just don't want the hassle.
Politeness, human decency.
It's not even politeness. It's just like, we, you know, despite the fact that when you start a hardcore character, it says right on there, and you have to click OK before it lets you do this. It says, "Do not call customer service. We will not resurrect your character. So don't even bother."
Mm-hmm.
But I can almost guarantee you, they get dozens, if not hundreds, of calls a day about people asking if they can restart their hardcore character. And then if they're opening it up to, oh, you potentially lost, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars of purchased equipment. I mean, that's just lawsuit central, just waiting to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. I have now added the authenticator.
Yay. We're so proud of you. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for news. It's a light news week. Mm-hmm. Not much. Yeah, just it's a very boring week.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Again, it's the week after E3, so it's not like there's going to be a ton going on.
Yeah.
What was that E3 thing? I completely... No, I'm kidding.
You'll have to listen to last week's show.
Yeah. Then some things happened.
So, yeah.
I have time in my commute now, so...
Well, good.
So have you guys been playing any games?
There's this little PC game. I don't know if we've mentioned it or not yet in the show.
Diablo 3?
Oh, yeah, that game.
Yeah, you finally got on the bandwagon.
I did. Finally got my reimbursement for a video editing project I did, and so I was able to instantly rush out on my lunch break to go pick it up.
Did you skip and giggle the whole time?
It made the rest of my work day very hard, knowing I had Diablo 3 sitting in my backpack.
I had the same thing, except I bought Legos today. But it was the same situation where they were just...
Legos did you buy?
What
Legos did you buy?
I bought more Star Wars.
Nice. I bought the X-Wing a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
But yeah, it was just kind of very... Like, in fact, the IT guy came around to do something, and I'm like, I got another question for you. Any chance you can install this in my computer here quick?
Fun story. My coworker got nearly fired years and years ago he had his working from home computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he thought he should do this, but he had installed StarCraft on it.
Yeah.
And in the little software scanners on the work computer picked it up, and he got in some serious trouble for it.
So lesson to all you people out there listening to us, keep your work and your life separate.
Agreed.
That's a motto I try to live by.
Yeah.
Except for the idea of listening to the show while you work.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, because that's your brain. Your brain is your own time.
That's right, baby.
Right.
So, yeah, Diablo.
Yeah, so Diablo. I mean, obviously, this is my first character. I know everybody keeps joining my game, because I'm the lowbie right now, although I'm at 14 now.
Nice.
But I'm playing as a demon hunter. I know you had commented you were a little surprised I didn't play a barbarian.
Yeah.
I want to switch. I'm a demon hunter.
Okay.
So
double crossbows.
I kind of wanted to switch it up. Well, I haven't done double crossbows yet. I've been kind of, you know, I've got the quiver for boosting on the offhand. I don't know. Maybe double crossbows is something that's unlocked later, I assume.
Well, you just got to find two hand crossbows,
I suppose. But, you know, the funny thing is because of that, because I got into this game a couple weeks later, everybody I know is higher class than me, and as soon as, like, it's a new time they've started playing a game with me, They're like, oh, I've got a whole bunch of shit to give you. Like, I was playing with my friend Phil, who instantly brings me to the secret level, which is a nightmare for those who are bronies. You basically go around, well, I don't know, should I spoil it or no?
I think it's been pretty spoiled at this point.
Okay, you kill a bunch of damn unicorns and shit like that. It's all a bunch of, you know, happy crap and all that, but obviously I died like about 8-9 times, because the moment these characters touch me, I'm dead. Because this is it's only meant for level 60s to be running around in there, and I was a level 8 at that point. So, but you know, I got a bunch of, you know, cool loot and shit, and I'm at like 26,000-27,000 gold right now, which seems a little high for that level. But
so how does that work? So Mike, you're under level,
mm-hmm.
and people join your game, or you party up. Do they join into your game then?
That's what's been going on so far, but I haven't joined into anybody else's game. So I'm assuming it's basically like, I'm assuming, Evan, for instance, when you joined my game earlier tonight, you just probably did a quick join or something like that, I assume? Yeah.
So what happened to your game then, Evan?
I'm assuming it's still going.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think.
This is one of those kind of systems where you can't think too hard about the story implications of what is going on. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really like alternate universe level crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but no, I've been having a lot of fun with it, enjoying it, obviously. You know, I had a couple of people I've played with, so if there's any listeners out there who want to play with me, you know, just get in touch with me and I'll give you my Battle.net ID. I really like the idea that you can have your name of your account still. So, like, mine is just, this is Mike D, but doesn't have any underscores, but then it has that, you know, a number after it.
Yeah, but that doesn't show up on the friends list.
No, which it is not at all. Yeah, which is good at all. But I noticed that your character's name does not really show up, does it?
Yeah, it does. You'll see, like, you know, this is Mike D is playing Hawkeye.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's mine.
Yeah, you can see that on the social menu, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I was being a dork, and I'm like, well, I'm going to name it M after the lamest of the Avengers heroes.
Hey, Hawkeye's pretty damn bad. Oh,
I thought you named him after the MASH character.
Oh, no. He was named, you know, because crossbows, things like that.
I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I was
going for. My witch doctor's name's slightly racist. I'm not really...
In a shock to no one.
What do you mean? I'm not a racist person.
You went on PC... You wouldn't want it's you and being on PC.
Dude, it's a witch doctor. I think Juju is a proper name for him.
I don't know about that, dude.
What?
That's pretty funny.
I don't think it's that bad. Jeez.
Oh, I'd hate to see what my brother named his character, because we were also playing with my brother, and My brother is the individual who has flat out said he did not vote for Barack Obama due to his ethnicity. So we'll just leave it at that. That's a nice way I'm putting of my.
His username has a little bit of a white power kind of.
Yeah, you know, he uses that, like, that's kind of his moniker that he uses, and every time he uses that, I just kind of look at him and I'm like, yeah, you know, that's a little borderline. I don't think he quite understands that. That's what it comes off as.
Yeah. What is it, like, respect the clan or something
like
that?
No, it's like Irish Knight or something
like
that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it comes off a little, you know, at least he's not running around and calling himself, like, Grand Wizard or something like that. Then I'd have to be a little like, okay, we need to have a little talk.
Oh.
But no, he's had that. It's like his, like, because, like, Green Irish Knight, I think, is his PSN ID. So everyone go add my brother now, just for fun.
Everyone add your brother and call him racist over PlayStation Network.
We just outed your brother as a racist,
And he is a little bit, so it's cool, you know. I don't care.
No, it's not cool.
No, I'm saying it's fine if people want to harass him.
Oh, okay.
That he's racist. I'm cool if any listeners want to harass my brother for being racist. Because I don't know. Evan, you've met my brother, haven't you?
I might have. I don't. Nothing's really jumping at me.
Me and him could not be more different. But yeah, I won't get into that.
So,
anyways, now that we've outed my brother's a racist on a video game show.
Yes. I'm also doing Diablo 3. I think all three of us are playing Diablo 3. At least we all own it.
I haven't played for like a week. I've been pretty busy trying to, you know, deal with the plague and whatnot.
But I feel like Diablo 3 is a perfect game to help you deal with the plague.
No, I actually laid on the couch and watched about 30 hours of Dirty Jobs. That's how I deal with the plague.
Don't you have a laptop to play it on?
It doesn't run so good on the MacBook.
Huh.
I mean, it runs fine, but when I have, you know, the $2,000 gaming laptop, gaming rig, it's like crap compared to that. So
I suppose. Yeah, I get, my initial concern was is that I wasn't going to be able to run it.
It runs on a wide variety of systems. I'll give them a lot of credit for that. Like, once I tweaked the Mac, it ran actually really well. But, I mean, I have a... I mean, my gaming rig is actually 2.5 years old now, I bet.
Uh-huh.
Runs fantastic on this thing.
I mean, my computer is kind of... It's kind of a budget one. I think I invested about $700-$800 into it after everything was all said and done. I bought a refurb and then I Frankensteined it.
Oh, yeah. It's a good way to go.
So, I mean, I didn't... It's not a complete build. It's just more I took a base and then changed some shit out of it. But this thing was built to run Civ 5 like a dime. So I was kind of like, I'm like, well, I feel like if I can run Civ 5, I should be able to run Diablo 3. But
well, the difference here is when they released Civ 5, you needed like the creme de la creme to run that game, which it doesn't necessarily warrant, I don't think.
No, and I talked about this with the clerk too, where I was just like, I don't quite understand, and other people I've talked to too, it's like, there's nothing in Civilization 5 that makes you think, man, this really needs a freaking, you know, processor on roids in order to run.
And then Blizzard's smart to be like, all of our games will run on any system from the last 3 years for the most part.
Yeah.
That might be
like
a little bit
like
of an exaggeration.
Where you can play and you're like, this does seem like this should have some demanding power to it. Although I have friends of mine who apparently think that that's the reason the game is a constant online connection. That, you know, they think it's constantly just, you know, streaming your environment.
No.
I'm like, nope, that's not it at all.
Nope. This isn't on live.
No, but that's how what people were like, oh, that's the reason, you know, and I'm like, well, it's not like the graphics are that intense where they're, you know, amazing and couch-blowing by any means, but...
They're certainly not couch-blowing.
Well, no.
No.
I mean, they didn't blow away Evan's couch.
No, my couch comes pre-blown. It's,
Pre-blown.
Yeah, it's pretty falling apart as it is. So,
well, that's from that microwave usage you had on.
That was a different couch, oh.
Dude. That's still epic though. Like, how parents you got for the weekend? Putting the microwave on the couch, ordering 5 pizzas and getting the cooler full of Mountain Dew.
It was 3. It was 3 pizzas for one thing. I have. You know, I have. What do you call it?
Girlish figure to maintain.
Well, no, I was gonna say I have standards.
I was gonna say sensibilities, sense and sensibility, and Evan.
Yeah,
not so much.
Evan is not like the D-bags in Epic Meal Time, so he does not overindulge to the point of just pure insanity grossness. But yeah,
thank you, thank you for thinking I'm better than the Epic Meal Time people.
Well. I mean, you shouldn't quite take it as a compliment because most everything I encounter in a day is better than Epic Meal Time. But you're welcome nonetheless.
Thank you. Are you playing anything else in Diablo?
Me right now? No. I've just been playing the Baseball Superstars thing. Oh, I do have one other comment I want to make, by the way.
Sure.
Two things, actually, about Diablo 3. One, there's a character in there that I swear to God is an homage to Battle Axe. Or Golden Axe, rather.
Oh, the Treasure Goblin?
Yes. I see that, and I'm like, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, that is a reference to Golden Axe, is it not?
I gotta imagine.
Like, I would like somebody to confirm if that was the logic in it, or if I'm just... It's purely coincidental.
I can't imagine that it is...
that it's related to Golden Axe.
Yeah.
It just seems very similar to those little damn little trolls that you got that you had to like kick and hit in order to get treasure out of them. The other thing is too is I was actually thinking about this today, and I was kind of like, you know, I'm not entirely sure still how I feel about the constant online connection with it, because I like the idea that you can bounce into it being a single player to a multiplayer. What's annoying though is when Battle.net's down, you're not playing the game. Whether you want to have the option just, you know, if you were going to single player it or if you were going to online play it. I just kind of think that's a weird... That was the only time where I've been kind of like, you know, this constant online connection thing is kind of a drag in a little bit.
I would make the argument, though, once the Diablo 3 stuff settles down, how often will Battle.net be down?
Well, right. It just like it was down for maintenance Tuesday.
Yeah,
and
every Tuesday it's down for maintenance. Every Tuesday,
yeah,
morning.
And it was during the day, which I just so happened to have been home from work for a little bit because I had an appointment that morning, and so I was kind of like,
was the appointment with Diablo?
No. but yeah, it was just kind of a little bit like, oh. Okay, well, you know, granted, I went downstairs and just played the Xbox instead, so it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't calling for Activision's head on a pike.
But you could have.
I could have been an asshat and done that, but I chose not to, because I have sensibility, and the fact that I have the ability to play other things also, you know. But yeah, that being said, it's just kind of one of those things where I'm like, you know, let's say somebody's internet goes out or that kind of thing. It's like, it just kind of seems a bit of a bummer that it's just like, oh, I can't play this game right now. I mean, and again, it's kind of a first world problem, I'll call in that sense, where it's just like, you know, it sucks. It's just kind of the way of the world. I guess there's really no way around it. It is what it is. And, you know, if people don't like it, they can,
suck it.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't.
I think part of my problem with the complaining about this is that this has been known since day one.
Yeah, I mean, this has been known for a while, but it comes back to the Mass Effect 3 thing where I'm just like, guys, it's a game. It isn't like, you know, it isn't like we're dealing with, oh, sorry, we gave you the wrong medication, or sorry, we pulled out the wrong thing in your stomach when we were doing surgery. You're gonna die in 6 months. You know, it's a game, and I know it seems bad to be on a game show and kind of like think of games as just like, oh, well, it's just a game, you know, it's not the end of the world. To some people this is a big deal, but I guess I've never been in the mind of thought where, I mean, even when like Fallout New Vegas was buggy as hell and I was so pissed about it, never once did it cross my mind to get to the point of just flat out like, I want the CEO of Bethesda to send me a personal apology, or, you know, the producers of Obsidian to apologize for the appalling nature of the bugs in this game. Never, you know, and it never occurred to me to, you know, that thought never crossed my mind once, so. I mean, and again, you know, this stuff with Diablo, it hasn't gotten to the proportions of Mass Effect 3, obviously, but with anything, somebody's always going to be unhappy, and it wouldn't shock me if a month from now you hear of somebody who just went off the deep end about it.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. I mean, I was actually looking through, I'm an idiot. I was looking through the Diablo forums today just to read the reactions to the Real Money Auction House.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, guys. Just, I don't understand where that just rage comes from.
I know, and this is coming from me, who is saying calm the fuck
down. If Mike's telling you tamp it down a bit, that you've got to rethink your life choices.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things, I don't ever plan on really getting into the forums on Diablo. Because I'm just like...
I was just doing it because I was...
For that reason is I fear for how much I will hate my fellow man afterwards.
Yeah, that's really true. I still want to do, at some point, I want to do my invite a troll feature where we get one of these ragers and have them come on the show so we can explain to them, or at least just talk to them. Like, where does this
you
come
from? You can't,
though.
You can't explain
you're,
it to them.
You're trying to... You know, it's kind of like debating. It's kind of like debating politics, though, Evan. It's like you get somebody who is so far to a certain end, there is no reasoning with them. You know?
Well, in that case, I'm perfectly fine making it almost like a sociological experiment / freak show.
One of us will blow up, though. Like, our brains will explode.
Probably me. Maybe
we do it as a pre-recorded thing, so we only one of us has to deal with the troll at a time.
And the other problem is I think that would only be funny for so long. With after a while, it's
that might
like,
be. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's where editing comes in handy.
Yeah,
yeah, that is also true.
And also, it's kind of like, you know, it's giving somebody you're giving somebody who doesn't deserve that pulpit, you know, that ability to voice their opinion. You're giving them that attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, I guess that's where I would have an issue with that, but.
All right,
but then I'm weird like that, you know. It's kind of like I don't like the Ku Klux Klan, so I never like to give them any sort of attention because
what the
I just pretend they don't exist. That's how I deal with you know.
It's just such a weird place to go.
Well, I think it's very similar type things. It's asshats who have unreasonable views of the world and should just be put into a. Just be put on an island and it should probably be bombed. But they still have the right to say their crazy shit. I just choose to ignore it.
This has been Deep Thoughts with Mike Dineen.
So, yeah.
I've been playing something else other than Diablo 3.
What?
I know. I've actually been playing a lot of mobile games. I don't know why. I think it's because my computer's have been all discombobulated lately.
Have you fixed your Xbox yet?
No, I'm not fixing my Xbox. I'm just getting a new one.
When are you buying a new Xbox?
Sometime between now and Assassin's Creed 3. I mean, I got Diablo right now. I don't really need an Xbox.
I like that. That's your meter.
Yes.
Is Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes,
is.
I will have a new one by Assassin's Creed 3. So November sometime.
Fair enough.
But I've actually been playing two different mobile games. I picked up Elder Signs Omens on my tablet. And
I know when you first posted that, I'm like, is that like some sort of like the Shasta of Elder Scrolls?
Well, no, it's Elder Sign, not Elder Scrolls.
No,
wait,
I don't,
is that Fantasy Flight?
Yes, it's a Fantasy Flight. It's one of their two apps. Fantasy Flight is what is referred to as a hobby game company. They do board games and card games, and they have a game. It's a dice game actually called Elder Sign, and they kind of converted it into an app, into a mobile game. And called it Elder Sign Omens. And actually, it's a very, very good representation of what the dice game is, where you are rolling different colored dice to get sequences of symbols that will let you defeat, you know, various challenges and things like that and gain points to, you know, and it's part of their very, very large Cthulhu line of stuff. It's like Arkham Horror and things like that. So it's kind of an adjunct in that. But it's one of those where it is a really good conversion and a dice game like that, you know, I mean, we've seen similar not similar dice games, but you know, other kinds of dice games make the transition into mobile. I mean, I'm thinking like Farkle and you know Yahtzee and all of those kind of games. So it makes perfect sense that this translates really well. And I was thinking about this, you know, I know Ian is a fair hobby gamer. I'm quite a big one.
I would love to get into it more. And the only time I really have the opportunity is when you have your game nights.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
that you never even show up to anyway.
I know, and I really need to
you
more.
Jerk.
Well, that's because I have a job on Saturday night that keeps me out until 4 a.m.
Well.
I usually, like, want to do jack shit on Sundays, then that's the problem.
Well, that's fine, I guess.
Or my brain just kind of is gone
by
that
point. But I'm
surprised
go ahead. Go ahead.
Elder Sign Omens, I have the page up, is out for iPad, $6.99. For iPhone or iPod is $3.99. Mac OS X is $6.99. Android is $3.99.
Yeah.
Just saying, you can get on Mac too if you want.
Oh yeah, I suppose. I guess I hadn't processed that, but yeah, that is interesting.
You can get everything on Mac, can't you?
Well, anything you can get on iPhone, you can probably get on Mac.
Probably. Close.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of fun. It comes with two kind of enemies, because it's one of those, it's a cooperative game, so you've got, you can play it by yourself, you can have four, you get four investigators, so four kind of characters, from a list of about maybe 15 or 16, and you've got two enemies that you can fight in the base game, and then you can add a third enemy and a couple extra investigators for, I think, like $2 or $3.
Okay.
And it's one of those where it could be a really fun hot seat game where each you have multiple players and you're just passing the tablet back and forth. Like, I think I haven't actually tried that yet because I don't have friends, but I can see this would actually work really well as like a car ride game.
Yeah.
Because you could just, again, hand it back and forth. You do your little thing and then it says, okay, do this. I mean, it's not like actually designed for multiple players. It won't say like player one, player two. It'll just say like the name of the investigator. So as long as you remember which investigator you are, then you're fine.
That's a lot to ask for me.
I know. But it is a very fun game, and I definitely think it's worth the $4. Yeah, you can, and actually, it can be fairly tricky. Once you get the hang of how the system works, it's not that hard, but there's a definite strategy to it, and you can normally whip through a game in, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, I would say. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty similar to the dice game. And then I've also been playing a game called Rebuild, and Mike, this might be all for you.
Okay.
The basic idea of Rebuild is that the zombie apocalypse has happened, and you are the deposed, you know, you are a guy in a city, one of the survivors, and you've managed to wall off a couple blocks of the city. And the goal of the game is to slowly expand the section that you've walled off into until you get up to, I think it's like 75 city blocks, including the city hall, and then you win.
Okay.
And you do that by, you have a certain, it's a resource game, basically. You recruit people in, you find survivors, and they all have skills. They can be leaders that recruit, they can be soldiers that fight off zombies, they can be builders that let you build buildings on the empty blocks that you've done, or improve things, and you slowly build out, and it's actually a really interesting kind of thing, because like they have specific, you know, spots, like each block has got its own thing. So like an apartment will let you increase how many people you can have in your colony, I guess. If you have a school, you can raise people's stats. You can send them there for a few turns and it raises their stats. But there's all these little like kind of oddball side events that will happen, and it changes every game. Like in the game that I'm playing right now, I have a church within my group. And one of the people in my colony has decided that he is going to start a religion of zombieism, basically. I forget what they call it, but it's basically that the zombie is the next evolution of man, and that's the whole basis of his religion. So meanwhile, while you're trying to do all this crap, you've got this guy sitting in your church, and he's taking people out of your colony.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's all like little random things like that. Like, you know, you'll find a police station, and that will, and there's these rival, there's these gangs, these roving gangs, that will come by every once in a while. And sometimes they'll steal your food, and sometimes they'll actually help you fight zombies. There's one guy who comes by with basically a horror wagon, that you can, and you make these decisions where it's like, do you let the whoremonger into your colony? And if you do, you know, it costs you food, but you get happiness out of it. You know, so it's a really interesting kind of thing. The graphics are hilarious because they're so bad. The graphics, I mean, the city graphics, they're kind of cartoony, almost kind of Farmville-ish. But the people are amazing because they look like composite photos, like shitty composite photos from the 80s where they were first starting to get computers in police stations. So it was just like mix and match faces and eyes and nose and hair and things like that. So you get some really grotesque looking people sometimes.
Nice.
But it's all the names are randomly generated. Actually the guy who started the church, his name is Washington the Snake. Like, okay. All right. Sure. Whatever. It's a super cheap game. I got it on sale for $1. And I think that was just on sale that was just on sale for like a week. So, but I think it's normally like $3.
What platform?
I got it on Android. I don't know if it's on iOS or not.
And again, the name of the game is again?
It's called Rebuild.
Rebuild.
Yeah, okay. It's a very fun little game, and you're the whole time you're dealing with. You know, you've got so many people in your colony, and you can send them out on missions, but there's a danger level of, you know, a zombie attack. So if you basically commit too many of your people out doing stuff and not just sitting at home and defending, you can get overrun. And you know, people in your colony can die. They can get injured. And if you don't have a hospital, they're out of commission for a longer time.
It appears that it is still 99 cents.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, then it's definitely
it worth is $2.99 on iPhone, and it is a Plus app though, so you get the iPad and the iOS iPhone
nice.
Version.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I would say. I mean, I was just looking for like just some sort of, you know, diversion, you know, some super cheap diversion to play on my tablet, and it ended up being pretty enjoyable. And there's some decent strategy where you're finding teams. Like, these guys are really good at, you know, at being soldiers, so you want to send them out to kill zombies. And, you know, there's other guys that, you know, but you can mix and match. You can find equipment like dogs where they give you a little bonus in your fighting and that. And it's a surprisingly deep game, and they keep adding content to it. And it's a lot of fun. Definitely worth a buck, I would say.
Right on.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been. I actually just bought a computer for upstairs, a proper work computer. And it's very tiny because it needs to be shitty. Because I basically bought it so that I can't play games on it.
Oh, okay.
So that I don't get distracted while I'm trying to do work. So is that it? Is everyone did their games now?
Yeah, I haven't really been playing anything, so yeah, I'm pretty good.
You're good?
All right.
Well, excellent. Well, in that case, then, I say we wrap up so then I can get back to Diablo.
Yeah,
yes.
And now that I've assigned a PayPal account to my BattleNet account, I can actually take the money out and not just have it in Blizzard bucks. Episode 300 coming up shortly. Congratulations to our friends over at Rusty Quarters. They picked up enough donations and things to keep the lights on for another month or two. So that was very nice of them. They had to raise their prices on all their games to 50 cents, which I think is valid. I mean,
I think it's valid. I mean, it, you know, I don't really know if there's anybody who's going to get truly upset by that. I can justify 50 cents for an arcade game. Hell, a lot of times, I mean, that even seems cheap yet.
Absolutely.
You know, because there's a lot of times I can see where it would be no problem to see somebody have had, you know, a dollar games or something of that nature.
Yep, and hopefully we're working with them right now. Hopefully they will be our next sponsor on the show.
Excellent.
So
that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, stay tuned for more information on that. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else that we really need to talk about right now. You guys got anything?
Well, I mean, there's the standard stuff for wrapping up.
There is that, stuff. And you know, that is normally the time when we start thanking people for coming on the show, like Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you everyone again for listening to us, and you know, especially the Diablo 3 talk that we've had tonight. You can check us out online, of course, at on Facebook. Just look us up at Yet Another Gaming Show. You can also find us on Twitter at YAGSFPG.
Also, big thanks to Ian.
Thank you very much. If you need some clothing for your body, check out shop.fancypantsgangsters.com and buy shirts.
Speaking of shirts, it'll probably be over by the time this show comes out.
So let's mention it anyway.
You should follow Ashley Hay on Facebook because she does a lot of video game related t-shirt designs.
And Twitter.
You can find her, just search for Ashley Hay on Facebook. I don't know if she's got the vanity URL or not, but you can just do Hey Ashley on Twitter, and she's good about letting everyone know when she's got designs up. She had a design up this week for a Bastion shirt.
That is an awesome Bastion shirt there, the one
squirt.
That based off these squirts.
Yep, so, but I think it might, because it's a very limited sale thing, so it'll probably be over by the time this comes out, but anyway. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else. So thank you guys very much for listening. Next week we'll be in studio, so it won't be hopefully as awkward and chair squeaky as this week. But we thank you for your patience on that, and thank you again for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Afraid in the Dark, like 14, Catherine Heigl's Revenge.